from Akron, Ohio. This is our very special episode. One of the most special episodes we do every year. Because every year we celebrate the best of 2021. And for the first time ever, 2021 will have already happened. So we'll no longer be guessing. Right. Now we're going to talk about some of our favorite stuff from the last year in movies and TV and culture and video games and all the other shit. I don't know. 2021, kind of a stupid year, but we're going to talk about it anyway, because what else are we going to do? Anyways, I'm your host, Nick. I'm in the red sweater. Joining me, as always, is in a black... Is it a hoodie? No, it's not a hoodie. Is it a hoodie? I feel very unconfident as to what this actually is, because you're in the vertical orientation. Everyone else is horizontal.
It's true. It's Eva.
Your pillar box. You're like... You're watching like an old movie from the 30s in the Academy ratio, and it's squaring where everyone else is in widescreen.
That's been my plan the whole time.
It's very like it's apropos, I think.
Exactly.
In a white cardigan?
Cream color cardigan, sir.
Okay.
Nice.
I don't see color.
I'd call that eggshell.
Yeah, it'll be an off-white.
And in, I'm assuming it's the Charleston Charlie set.
Always.
And Kyle.
All right. So 2021, sir, what do you think about it? Was it cool or was it stupid?
It was bittersweet. It was bittersweet.
It looked like it might be cool for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it started out moments really bananas, cool. And then it kind of flattened out, and then it got kind of bad again towards the end.
Yeah, it really was like I don't know, like a bell curve. Like, there's a few months in the middle where it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, it was like, you know, kept the whole democracy guard on the tracks, and it just kind of got really boring, and then just kind of, like, we swerved into the mud towards the end with the whole voting rights fail. And just not a lot of great TV came out this year. So, I mean, you know, just like a really weird one.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I feel like movies were pretty good. Like, I'm pretty happy with the slate of movies that I saw. Almost all of it was at the very end of the year, which is sort of how it always goes. I don't know. What do you think, Eva?
What are movies?
Movies. It's I had to explain the difference between
moving
movies,
pictures,
movies and TV to my child. I said they're the ones that are longer and don't have commercials or episodes.
What are commercials?
So yeah, I'm not sure I remember exactly. I'm having a hard time distinguishing what the difference between those things are anymore.
Yeah,
and Kyle, how were video games this year? Because I'm not on the video game tip.
Games were interesting this year. I think for the first time in a long time, there wasn't a clear best game of the year. There was a lot of good games, but I don't think there was necessarily like a masterpiece that came out this year. So it was actually really interesting looking at different outlets and their game of the year, which would range from like a racing game to an action game to like an RPG. So it was all over the place. So when the awards happened at the end of the year, it was kind of crazy when they announced what they said was the game of the year. But
kind of similar.
It was okay, but yeah, I'm assuming it's very similar to movies.
Well, similar for me, almost always at the end of the year, I have a very clear number one movie. And this year I didn't until I will get to it probably at the very end of this episode. But I think I finally like, because I had two that I was back
a few times in theaters.
No, I had two that I was back and forth on a lot. And I couldn't really make up my mind. And then I saw something else that I think has supplanted the other two. So I couldn't tell you what my second or third is, but I'm feeling relatively confident about my number one. But usually like at the end of the year, I have a definite like, yes, this is it.
We also have like a top 20 every year, don't you? And you don't even
have
top three this year.
Yeah, I haven't sorted it out that far, but I know what my top three are anyway.
You were too busy coming up with your top 100 of what you watched for the first time this year.
Yep.
That was really stressful.
Yeah,
we should.
Should we jump into our awards?
Yeah.
Kyle, I believe.
How are we doing this? Just
how
one at a time?
Yeah, one at a time.
We our own awards and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then maybe halfway through, we'll figure out what the Golden Tropy goes to. Our patented. We have a patent, right? The paperwork went through, sir.
Yeah, about that. We'll figure that out later.
Fucking DeJoy.
Kyle, what's your number
one? My first award is just going to be the one that I think I do this every year. Just gaming trend of the year, something that you saw a lot this year when it comes to video games. Number three would be just remakes and remasters. There were a lot of those this year. Number two would be unfinished releases. So games that came out and were not full games and the potential was there, but they weren't very satisfying when they first came out. Games like Back 4 Blood and Halo Infinite and GTA Trilogy, which is basically just like broken when it came out. But my number one gaming trend of the year is just time loop games. Time loop and that mechanic of repeating the same thing over and over again happened a lot this year in games. Returnal, 12 minutes where you keep replaying the same 12 minutes over and over and try to break the cycle. Breaking the cycle was something you did in the game called Deathloop. And then also in the Forgotten City and a bunch of other games had the same mechanic of replaying the same story, but trying to get further in it every time. So it's kind of interesting. You don't, up until this year, there weren't very many games that did this. And this year just sort of exploded with that style. So
is that because of COVID?
I don't know. These games are really, they're not like, they're complex in their structure, but it's also like kind of a cop out if not done right. So it's like some of those were successful takes on it and some were not as successful. So maybe, but yeah, it was really kind of interesting. Eva, what would be your first award?
First award is snack of the year. And mine's going to be a beverage this year. I think I'd had candy the last 2 years. I went on a really weird, like, affinity for pineapple flavored things in 2021. And it started right at the end of 2020 when I didn't have a sense of taste or smell. And I was trying to broil pineapple in the oven with brown sugar on top, like how you put on the outside of a ham. And I took a couple pieces out of the oven because they were done and I put the rest in and I felt like I could almost like taste it. Like I could feel like a little bit of acidic feeling in my mouth and I was like, oh man, this is coming back. I'm going to be okay. And it's true that I could taste it a little bit, but apparently I still couldn't smell anything at all because my smoke detector went off shortly after that because I had completely like cremated the pineapple that I had put back in the oven to the point that I tripped the smoke detector. And from there on, it was just like, I just kept picking out pineapple flavored stuff. And my favorite thing of 2021 is a pineapple lemonade from Wendy's.
Is that a all the time thing or a special?
It's all the, it's not seasonal. I was worried when, I think it was like October 1st happened. And I was worried that it was going to like go away until next summer again, but no, it's still around. And they are delightful. I'm a pineapple lemonade evangelist now, so it's my obligation to spread the good word about pineapple lemonade wherever I can.
Well, speaking of fast food beverages, did you guys know that they're going to be making a Mike's Hard version of Baja Blast?
Yeah, Mountain Dew,
a hard Baja Blast.
Baja Blast is really gross just by itself, right?
I gotta say, like, I love Mountain Dew and I hate Baja.
They need to make it like Four Loko strength.
Yeah, that's what I was curious about because I feel like I've heard of Baja Blast, had it, but I feel like it's kind of gross just by the look of it.
Oh, it's gross. Yeah,
Alcoholic beverage. Energy drink alcoholic beverages in general are pretty gross.
Yeah, I agree.
I remember.
I would say that it's probably going to taste better than Four Loko and Red Bull, but that's just because I can't stand Red Bull.
There was a bachelor party that I went to where one of the grooms, I don't say who it was, little brother, drank a can of Four Loko and then somehow broke into the hotel pool like it was closed and like fell in. We were all like supposed to meet in the hotel and then go somewhere else, and he showed up, he's just soaking wet. Like, he's still in the can of Four Loko.
Is this someone I know?
Yeah, however, I don't want to say who it is on the show.
You can
I'll type it.
I'm very curious to see who this is in the chat. Is that your first award for 2021?
Yeah, so my
okay.
My first award.
What would that be an award for?
Yeah, I guess I can say what we used to call the kid because it's not his real name. We used to call him Young Neil. Sort of after the Scott Pilgrim.
Actually don't know this person.
Yeah, you might not, you probably know the person, just not the
one. Yeah, yeah. I know one of the people involved in the marriage, but I don't know the other person actually, and I don't know this person.
So my first award, I'm gonna go with best video game that came out. And I'm going to go with Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, Tabs. So some of you may have heard me rave about Tabs before. It came out in early access, like 2019. And it's basically a ragdoll physics game where you can place items and it's like, you know, a little war game stuff. When they released the full version, they finally released the creative mode that we've been waiting for. So really exciting. Basically, like... it allows you to kind of create your own units. So I went through and of course, being the history nerd. Oh, go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say, it's actually the perfect thing that we could have used during Beast Duels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have, yeah.
Because the things that I've seen, it's been like 100 Jedi versus 50 T-Rexes or something like ridiculous. I don't know if that's like a mod or something, but I've seen
I think
like the weird matchups the like
T-Rex
that.
Thing is this, probably a mod. However, you can
okay.
You know, I managed to create some
crazy things,
some pretty accurate like game characters. Like I'm working through a Conan the Barbarian like series from the Schwarzenegger movies. So yeah, like the history nerd I am, I went and made like a Haitian Revolution historical units and a huge thing that's all the medieval kingdoms in Africa and stuff. And it's just been really, it was kind of like it hit at just the right moment where I kind of needed some inspiration to open up something and get creative and tinker a little bit. Very cool. It reminds me of like I used to was even an even nerdier person than I am now. And I used to customize figures and like actually paint action figures. Because I don't know if y'all know, my mom's like a painter. So she had all this stuff around. And because there were very few black characters that were really good action figures, like a lot of us would actually make our own. And so we got into the whole custom That's action awesome. Figure community. And this reminded me a lot of that. So yeah, Tabs.
Is Tabs more of like a thing that you set up and then you just kind of watch play? You don't really like control any of the units, right?
You can
like an RTS.
Yes, yeah, so you can set it up like an RTS. However, you can possess units, which is pretty fun because then you can kind of like lead your units. Now you can give the specific unit you control the ability to work. The other ones will follow you, and so that's pretty neat.
Oh, cool, nice.
Yeah, and I think you know the ragdoll physics. That it really makes it. It's surprising how accurate,
yeah. Right?
Some of these conflicts are, and how you can really use like military strategies and stuff.
And they're just bodies littered all over the battlefield, probably.
Yeah,
and, like getting kicked around and stuff.
And shout out to the developer team. Very cool group of people. They put up with all of like there's a lot of bugs when I first released, of course, and they were just putting up with a lot of gaming fans emailing them asking and reporting bugs, one of whom was me, and they're very very polite and helpful group of Swedish folks, and some of their money goes to Doctors Without Borders. So
oh nice. Yeah.
Nick, what is your first award?
So I feel like in the past I've done a lot of like traditional awards, like the supporting actor, supporting actress, actor, actress, and best film, but I'm skewing that this year. I'm doing because I just felt like I had some more fun options. So my first one is going to be best music moment in a movie. And there were a ton of movie musicals this year. Some were very good. I think West Side Story is easily the best of the ones I've seen. But In the Heights, I think, is a very fun movie. I liked Annette quite a bit. I like Encanto. I think Tick, Tick, Boom is fine.
Did you see Dear Evan Hansen?
Oh, no. that looked quite bad. I did not see Come From Away either, or the Camilla Cabello Cinderella. And a lot of people really liked the Bo Burnham Inside. We watched half of it and I had no interest in finishing it. But there were a lot of great musical scenes to pick from. But the one that I went with was actually from a documentary, and it was Peter Jackson's very long but very cool 8-hour documentary on the making of the Beatles' final album, Let It Be, called Get Back. In the music moment that, this thing is just full of great music moments because it's just kind of the Beatles fucking around for a month. But by far the coolest one is Paul McCartney, and he's just strumming on his guitar and sort of like wailing, singing, mumbling. And he does this for about 2 minutes. You watch him the entire time, and he starts from nothing and ends up with like most of the song Get Back. Watch him out of nowhere pull out this like song that everyone knows, that's so it's iconic enough that it's the name of the fucking movie. It's just really cool watching him. A lot of the people, like a lot of the stereotypes from the Beatles, either are clarified or like countered by this movie. But Paul being like the creative genius is really on display. And somebody likened him to the person in the group project who's like, come on guys, like let's just get it done, and he does all the work, and it really feels that way. He's just like it's pretty awe-inspiring to watch him throughout this documentary. Like I don't know that they would have functioned without him, because he seems to be the only one who like seems to give a shit through a lot of this documentary. But that scene is just like, my jaw was on the floor watching him do this, because at first you don't know what you're like, oh, that sounds sort of like Get Back. And then 3 minutes later, you're like, whoa. I thought it was really rad.
You watched the whole, out right now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It came out, I think.
I wasn't sure if they released it all at once, because I remember they were saying that it comes out in parts or something.
Yeah,
or
they did. On Thanksgiving, they released the first episode, and then like the next two over the next 2 days or something like that.
Oh, okay. So it came out quickly. Yeah. Cool. Is it edited real well? Because it looked like the footage was there, but I was kind of curious as to how it was really put together.
Yeah, I mean,
it's more like a fly on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's all fly on the wall, no narration. Cool. There's the occasional title. No, it's not like where they're interrupting and going, well, this is the thing. Where we wrote this. Isn't that cool?
Paul McCartney was a genius when he did this thing. Yeah,
that's right. Cool.
Didn't Paul McCartney join the Neil Young block?
Did he?
Against Spotify? I think he did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's up to like Neil Young, Barry Manilow, Peter Frampton, Joni Mitchell, Neil Logfram, McCartney, Springsteen.
Springsteen too.
Yeah, that's a lot of artists.
I didn't know Springsteen was in on it.
Yeah, he's in on it.
Oh, you know what? Well, I'll talk about this movie later. I have what actually could compete for a best music moment, but it's like ish a spoiler. It's just at the end of a movie involving Springsteen. But we'll get there when we get there. Kyle, what's your next award?
My next award is favorite food of the year. these are dishes that I had. Most of them are out at a restaurant, but number three is just the me being introduced to something called black truffle dust, which we got in a Blue Apron. It is this powder that we got in like a little baggie, but we loved it so much because they had it. They had us put it on like some white pizza or something, and it was incredible. That I ended up buying like a jar of it because it's awesome. Number two is a scone skillet that I got in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it was basically this like black pepper and cheddar scone with gravy and an egg on it, and it was from this place called Persephone Bakery. It was awesome. But the number one has to be the whipped feta from Moonrakers in Beaufort, yeah, North Carolina, mostly because it was this legendary dish that we had, this appetizer that I was like, there's no way it's going to be as good as everyone says. Like, everyone tried it in our family, and me and Lisa were the last ones to try it.
Nelly was like the biggest evangelist of this stuff.
But the stuff is basically, it's a appetizer, and it's this whipped feta. So it's whipped feta usually has this crumbly texture. This is more kind of like a creamy sauce that they serve with herbs, and I think there's like grapes in it, which sounds kind of gross, but
and
it's
honey.
It's like sweet and savory. And then they serve it, I think, with like little pieces of bread or
pita.
It's great. This is also the year that I've like really discovered the combination of the sweet and salty combinations. And it's great. And then also just where you're eating it at that specific restaurant or a particular restaurant, it's just like on a pier next to the water, and it's great weather, and you have really good drink next to you, and it's awesome. So you have the whipped feta. Eva, would be your number four?
My next award is an award for myself. Letterboxd is the only way I can remember anything anymore about what I've seen and what I haven't. And
you don't write reviews enough for your Letterboxd, because whenever you do, they're great. I'm here to encourage you friend and Letterboxd friend. Most importantly, your Letterboxd friend.
Oh, you guys are friends on Letterboxd. That's adorable.
Yes. And related to that, my award is my award to myself for my best Letterboxd review of the year, which is from. It was one of the first movies I watched last year. It was Never Let Go, which is an early 1960s film noir with Peter Sellers, where Peter Sellers is a villain in it. He's great. But the main character is this like down on his luck cosmetic salesman, and his car gets stolen. And then it turns into this kind of like revenge movie where, you know, he's this guy who's been put upon, and he's very timid, and he's a pushover. But all of a sudden, now that his car has been stolen, he's out for blood. And in a like brilliant flash, like it wasn't even like right after I saw it. It was like 2 months later we were talking about it. It came up again, and I thought this is the perfect review for this movie that I can read you the entire review. And it was just, dude, there's my car.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
It was astoundingly basic. Just the drive of that film.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It was on Criterion like this time last year. So if it's not back, it probably will circle back in eventually.
Yeah, they do cycle their stuff in and out. So if you miss things, they'll be back eventually. But yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. For reviews on Letterboxd, is it just like a paragraph, or I'm assuming?
Oh, no.
Whatever you want. Some people write like fucking like long scroll like
TLDR stuff.
Yeah And then I tend to either do like one-off jokes or like a couple paragraph, like a paragraph or two, sometimes just stray thoughts, sometimes like I actually try to like put actual criticism into it, but usually it's a combination of like I have like one thing to say that's like slightly intelligent, and the rest is like stupid jokes.
I wish that you guys remember like 2007, 2008 Netflix, when you could leave notes on movies that only your friends could see.
I don't remember that bit of it.
That was a thing
and controversial now.
Yeah, and it was like, there are times where like something like, dude, there's my car, or something else silly that I want to say, like I want to write it, but then I'm like, I don't want all these people to think, like, you know, I don't know. One, I don't know if I want everybody to see it. Like, what if I just want to write Nick a note? Like, hey, Nick, you'd like this because of this.
Yeah.
And leave it someplace that he can see it later if he's bumping into that movie. And I wish that they had that, like, a friends only kind of option.
Yeah, that's a good idea. There's a lot of things that I think that they should do. Another thing that, like, if you make your list, or if you make a list, you should be able to, like, I wanted to pull stuff from other lists.
Like, add to my list kind of thing.
Yeah, but add like seven, like there's a list, there's a, somebody else's list and has like seven movies. I want to be able to like click seven movies and then just drag them into my list instead of having to add them all one at a time, because it's never seven. It's always like 15 or 20, and it takes fucking forever to add lists that way. If you just click and drag, it would be much better. But overall, like I love the, I love that app. It's the app that I use the most, that is the least toxic, has the best like usage to toxicity ratio. Like, there is some out there for sure.
Is it toxic? Man,
I mean,
I guess with any movie,
the way anything yeah. is, but I mean, compared to like the other ones I use are Facebook and Twitter. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Sir, what's your next?
I
was gonna say, I introduced a listener of ours to TV Trips. And she's like, this site is, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this site.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. So sure. Yeah, I have the most pedestrian awards this year compared to what they usually are. So just next, best television series, best new television series.
Boring.
Yeah, there was just not much good TV out this year for me. I'm not really into Succession. I mean, I feel like that's happening in real life. I certainly don't want to watch it. And you know, some of the other stuff that came out, like, I just wasn't really into. However, there was one series that I was waiting for quite a while, and was one of the major reasons why I got Disney Plus. And What If, the What If television series came out, the animated series that's based on
really like that.
Yeah, decades long comic book alternate history series that Marvel has been doing, but finally brought to some level of the screen. What made it really special, you know, aside from seeing like really long term, really popular alternate histories like the Marvel Zombies, was it ended up being Chadwick Boseman's last roles. He's heavily featured, and I think ends up being two episodes. He shows up in three.
Two. And then they do a good dedication to him. Yeah, I was super impressed with all of the voice actors they got, because I'm pretty sure like most of them are prize their roles as the animated versions.
Whatever contract Disney's got them tied into, it's formidable.
Yeah. do you have a favorite episode?
You know, I think my favorite, I'll start with my favorite action scene was from the first one, Captain Carter. What if Peggy Carter was the first Avenger and had the Captain America job? Just really impressive. Like, it was like really next level. And then I did like their What If Zombies was probably the closest to like a What If story. Yet that What If T'Challa became Star-Lord was just really special.
I think that one just sounded the most ridiculous, because they were like, what if this didn't happen or this didn't happen? But that was the first one that I was like, I never even thought of that as being something, and it was awesome. You heard that the Zombies is getting its own series.
Nice.
Yeah. That's
Yeah. Just really cool. You know, it was a good central idea that no matter what situation he was in, he was going to become like really special or exceptional.
Yeah.
Nick, what is your number four?
So I'm going to go with most or best meta moment.
Most best.
So I love meta moments in movies. Have you guys seen Matrix Resurrections?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a ton in that. I mean, they start referring to how, like, they told us we needed to make another Matrix mm-hmm. game, or we need to do it, or Warner Brothers said they'd make it without us. Very funny. Like, I got a kick out of that. There's a movie called Bergman Island that's like about a story within a story. And that has some very meta moments at the end, so where like the actors are referred to by their actual names, like
the invention in real life.
Like one of them is Mia Wasikowska. Something. And they're like, hey, Mia.
Okay, it'll come
did
back.
Did you guys see Old? About the beach that makes you old?
No, but I want to.
M. Night Shyamalan plays someone who spends time in front of a camera.
Awesome.
But my number one is going to be from a movie called The Souvenir Part 2. A couple years ago, I had Honor Swinton Byrne, who's Tilda Swinton's daughter. I remember having her as my best actress of the year for The Souvenir Part 1. And I liked this movie even better. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one, but I loved her performance in it. In The Souvenir Part 2, is she's in film school, and she is making a movie about the stuff that happened to her in The Souvenir Part 1. And there's a moment where they screen her movie, and it's called The Souvenir. And I was just hooting and hollering, as they say. It was very good. As soon as they dropped the title card to that and it said The Souvenir, I like was fist pumping. Very good stuff.
Was it as good as when they did that bit in Spaceballs where they put in the Spaceballs VHS?
Yes, that's exactly what I thought of, was the Spaceballs.
Now. This is now.
So, very good movie. It was available through like the A24 screening room for one day, which is how I saw it. And the last time they had a screening room, it became rentable on iTunes like a week later. And this one is still just like in the ether. So when it comes out, I'd recommend seeing both of those movies. But I don't know where it is now. Kyle, what is your next award? Number three.
My next award is the most underrated game of the year. Mm. Number three is going to be Little Nightmares 2 by Tarsier Studios. I've talked about Little Nightmares 1 before on the show. It's basically like a Laika Tim Burton movie come to life. It is a horror-themed adventure puzzle game, and it is just dripping with atmosphere, and it's awesome. It's short and terrifying and just really satisfying to play because they do like this really good physics-based gameplay. I know you were looking for games to play, sir, co-op. This isn't a co-op game, but I could see you both just like playing it, maybe trading off with the controller and just experiencing it together, because this game is just beautiful and awesome. Number two is Road 96. It is this road trip kind of choose your own adventure game, kind of like a modern version of Oregon Trail, where you need to decide whether how to spend your money or if you want to keep moving, because you play as a kid trying to get out of the country, and there are some tough decisions, but they're really good character interactions in that game. But my number one most underrated game of the year is a game called Toem by a company called Something We Made. It is just this really charming game about photography, and the music and the art and the mood of the whole game is just so charming. And after the year that we had, to kind of end it off with this game that is just so comforting and sweet, and there's no enemies to kill. You're just a character walking around taking pictures and helping people. It is awesome. And I loved pretty much every aspect of the entire thing. And I think it's available everywhere, as far as consoles and PC and everything. So Toem is a game you should check out if you can. Evo would be your next award.
Mm-hmm.
Next award, trophy for The One That Got Away, a movie that I was looking forward to seeing for a long time that I still haven't seen. and that's Nightmare Alley. And yeah, I still haven't seen Nightmare Alley, guys. I guess I'll get to
it. Question, are you going to see the color version or the black and white version?
I didn't know there was an option.
They just, and I don't know if this is like a marketing scheme, because it really did not make a lot of money. They're re-releasing it in black and white. So I did see this, and I think it's good. It's not as good as the original. I think it's sort of not fair to compare them. And there are things about the new one that I prefer, actually.
Interesting.
But I think overall the original is better, and it's a much tighter movie. The new one, like, one of the big gripes I have about it is it just takes too long to tell the story. But it gets a little bit dirtier than the original was able to, just because of the time that it came out. One of the things that I thought was, it looks very nice. I bet it would, or I wish they would have shot this in black and white. So they're releasing it in black and white, but it wasn't shot in black and white. So I don't know.
So is it like that black and chrome?
Yeah, Fury Road? Like it wasn't shot with the intention of being black and white. So I don't know if it will be as good as it just won't be shot with the intention the way black and white movies now. They know what they're getting into. So yeah, so they're lighting and like contrast within scenes may not be optimal, but I bet it'll look pretty cool. I think it's definitely worth watching. There's some really solid performances in it. I think you'll like it. I would be surprised if you are like as over the moon about it as the original, but it really got a bad rap. Like, not a bad rap, like a bad deal box office wise. It made like a couple $1 million, and it's a much better movie than it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess even at the time the original was released, the original film it's a pretty violent, pretty like mean-spirited movie in many ways. And it tones down the mean-spiritedness of many of the characters for that movie. And Gresham the person who wrote the story, he was a pretty pessimistic person. He was a pretty cynical person. And it comes out in that story a lot. And so I really wanted this movie to go even further.
It does.
On that.
Yeah, it goes. I mean, there's one element that.
But I guess, like, I didn't hear anybody recoil.
No, yeah. Well,
so that's like what I was looking forward to. Like, is somebody really gonna? Are we gonna get to see what the geek does?
So,
like,
yeah.
We
so it does. It doesn't do that. Right? But you were the one who told me about like the seance scene. There's background to that the book goes into that the original movie doesn't or couldn't. This one does, but it doesn't feel as daring now as it would in like 1942 or whatever it was that the original was. But
right,
yeah. But I mean, it's a good movie.
I'm a little disappointed.
It's definitely worth watching.
Hear about the lack of a geek.
Enough geeking.
Yeah, Mister. It was the part I was born to play. Sir, what's your
was name? Roma shot originally
Black and White? And got some runners up here. And I know that it is going to have a pick that maybe we'll both talk about a little yet. Runner up, probably Gable Stevenson winning the Olympic gold medal in wrestling. So yeah, these are like best fights, combat, sports, crowd. So this was men's freestyle in the Olympics. Just really a great win. He had like basically, I think, what was it, like 3 seconds left in the match to get the points, and he just kind of like really just snatched defeat, or snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. And yeah, just really was like a great Olympic sporting moment. Not a whole lot of black wrestlers who have won gold in the Olympics heavyweight, so that was really cool. He does backflips, which is pretty amazing. For he's probably 265.
He's what, 220?
Yeah, he's probably, I think he's pushing in the Olympics. He's probably up there like 260 almost. And yeah, he can do like a run backflip to be 21 again. And so then then I would go with Big E winning the WWE championship, becoming only the sixth WWE champion of Black descent. After, I think we've had 54 total ones since 1963, so it's still kind of a big deal when it happens. And just a really cool win. Some of you know, I just only just started watching pro wrestling again, and some of it was because of how different it is racially and with like the gender roles. Like women actually wrestle now. They're not just completely objectified like they were in the 90s. So it's really exciting to see this new era. And that was a big win.
So are there... So there's no more mud wrestling or
no, like, yeah, I know, right?
I mean, you can, man, why even watch it?
It's amazing to me, like the stuff that they're banning now. Like, you're banning all this stuff in schools, and it's like everything from our childhood would just be, I mean, no Stone Cold. You can have Stone Cold, like. And then so I'm gonna go with my absolute the best combat sports moment, and there actually were a few in MMA and in boxing. There were quite a few really good fights. Combat sports has seen like a really somewhat troubling research during the pandemic, and I only say troubling because of Dana White and his COVID flaunting at some points throughout this. Yeah, it was kind of the only sport.
Wasn't Jake Paul going to get his fighters paid at least?
And Jake Paul. That's the other.
No, that was a myth. Yeah,
hero of the workers, hero of the working class, Jake Paul.
It's like it almost that kind of is what made combat sports not so great. Was
so wait, what happened? That was he did not actually say that he would fight if Dana White paid his fighters more. What was the what? How did that end up? Because I saw that and I was like, that seems cool.
Yeah,
that
no, they're not going to have any real wager. I mean, Dana's a gambling addict. Yeah, he's not going to gamble with Jake Paul. So the best moment was Kamaru has been knocking out George Bonsall in Florida at, I can get the name, the date of the event. It was just really cool because in April, really awesome April. Because it was like the quintessential loudmouth gets shut up like moment. Like in an encyclopedia, if we have like, you know, moments where there was comeuppance, it's going to be that picture because it was the classic wrestler in Kamaru who's been an MMA who's done more for his grappling, and then his nemesis Masvidal has done more for his striking and is like a pro Trump, like one of the Latinos for Trump folks. It's like really homophobic, and the entire lead up to the fight just talked about how Kamaru couldn't stand with him, couldn't actually knock him out, and wasn't man enough, quote unquote, didn't have enough real man, he said, and then gets knocked out by Kamaru, who's been in like the most highlight reel. It was like he knocked sweat off of his head. Like it was just this like huge ESPN moment. And it was like,
I was just going to say, like, it wasn't right. Just sweat. He dumped a bunch of water on his head to try to slip in between rounds. And that's
might as well kind of tried to cheat. Because you can, if you're fighting a grappler, you want to be kind of slippery. And so they dumped a bunch of water on his head. And it just made for this really amazing, like, photo of just all of this water coming off his head, face when he got blasted. So just a great moment. The universe seemed to kind of align a little bit. And then that was combat sports. Nick, what is your number three award?
What is my number three? Ooh, you guys, hate to do it, but I have to drop a tie. And it's appropriate that it's a tie because I'm talking about, speaking of ties, outfits.
Is it a tie between awards or a tie?
I thought you were going to go. You're going to talk about food too.
No.
What Thai dish is the best?
No, TIE. But actually, one of these specifically does not have a tie. but I'm going to go to the other one first. Have you guys seen the motion picture called Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar?
Mm-mm.
I remember you talking about it before, but no.
Jamie Dornan in that movie, very funny. He's a very charming young man. He has a shirt in that movie. It's a button-down t-shirt that is mostly white, but it has drawings of blue and orange fish on it. For it's a shirt from Zara, and it is. I've been looking for this shirt for nearly a year now because it just looks so cool. I doubt I would look as cool as this like quite handsome man in it, but let me send it to the chat just so you guys know what I'm talking about. It's a great shirt. Let me see if that actually sends. Oh, it did not. Anyways, it is in a tie with the movie. Did anyone see Shang-Chi and the Legend of the... How many rings is it? Is it 10 rings?
10 rings.
I haven't gotten a chance.
Okay, the Legend of the 10 rings.
We're good?
It's a pretty cool movie. I'm not a Marvel guy.
Marvel person.
Really, but
the bus fight scene is just all you need to see. I mean, it's not all you need to see, but it is.
It's a pretty cool fight scene. Tony Leung is the villain in it, ostensibly the villain in it, and he's fantastic. If people aren't familiar with him, he was in The Mood for Love, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. I've talked to you about that a lot on the show. I just rewatched Hard Boiled. He's like the second lead in that, and he Hard fucking rules in that movie.
Special. That's so special.
He's so good in it too. Chungking Express. He's in the movie Hero. He's been around for a while, but he's, as far as I know, this is his first English language.
I was just gonna say you're so naming a lot of not.
Yeah, yeah.
To my knowledge, American movies.
Yeah, to my knowledge, this is his first English speaking role, and he's great in it. And there's a scene when he goes into like a bar just to absolutely fuck people up, and he's wearing a suit jacket, hands in pockets, sleeves rolled up in the suit jacket, no tie, and he's got five chunky ass gold bracelets, the 10 rings on each arm, and the dude just looks fucking awesome. And friend of the show, cousin of the show, Truex, saw this before I did. And he said to me, when you watch this, there's a look that Tony Leung has that you will immediately like be into. So I watched it and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. What was the face that Tony Leung gave? And he's like, no, not a face, like a look, an outfit. So I'm going to pull up my Letterboxd review because I wrote this like before I'd had that conversation with him, and I go, oh, is it this Tony Leung in a two-piece suit, no tie, sleeves rolled up and hands in pockets with five chunky bracelets on each arm, cooler than the characters of all two dozen or whatever other MCU movies combined? And he's like, oh yeah, that's definitely the one. He's like, of course.
It's such a,
there's almost nothing better than a feel, like when somebody like has a feeling of exactly what yeah. you're going to mm-hmm. like about a movie, even if it's just one little thing like that. And then you actually like do find it and you do love it as much as they yeah. said you would.
And I thought he meant like a glance. So the entire movie, I was like, is it the glance that he gives this woman? Cause I don't understand why that was the thing. And he's like, oh no, it was just this, this outfit. And, oh man, what a fucking cool guy Tony Leung is. I'm loading a picture up of that, but if people have seen the movie, they'll know yeah, the scene I'm talking about.
I pulled up the picture. It makes me wonder if that suit, I don't know if he pulls them up mid scene. I forget, but it makes me wonder if it's like a 3/4 sleeve or something, because it is.
Yeah,
that doesn't look like a suit you should be pulling up the sleeves for. But
yeah, but but Truex even said to me, like, if you would have seen this before Halloween, I have a feeling this may have been your Halloween costume.
Oh yeah,
there's a pretty good chance.
That's awesome. Also, going back to your Jamie Dornan discussion, we haven't talked about real life vampires in a while. He is for sure a vampire, right?
Is he? Why? How old is he?
I don't know. I just feel like he.
Oh, just because he's got like a creepy vibe.
Couple hundred.
Yeah, he's got a vampire vibe, right?
No, I think that might just be from like the 50 Shades movies. But I mean, in this
in The Fall. Have you seen The Fall?
I haven't seen The Fall. After you see that, he's a big old goofball in Barb and Star.
Really? Because he preyed on women in The Fall. So I don't know. It is. He's a big old creep.
But. No, he's. I've seen two movies with him this year, and he both movies have moments that just stop in their tracks so that he can sing a song. And one of them, there's like a 50-50 chance it wins Best Picture. It's aggressively like fine.
I would love to see him in something where he's goofy, because right now I just know him from really messed up stuff.
Yeah, Barb and Star is on Hulu, I think. Very funny movie.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to part one of our Best of 2021 episode. Join us next week when we're going to have part two. See you then.
You have been listening to the On the Tropes podcast. Just marvelous, wasn't it? If you would like to learn more, then tvtropes.org/podcast/onthetropes would be the perfect place to go. Do you have feedback or suggestions for tropes to cover, you say? Well, isn't that just splendid? By all means, send them to onthetropes@gmail.com or join us at facebook.com/onthetropes or twitter.com/onthetropes for a lovely little chat. You can peruse our wares at onthetropes.redbubble.com or support the podcast at patreon.com/onthetropes. You absolute treasures, you.